But this morning, we want to talk about joy. So we're thinking about a life that we might like to know. One aspect of life that we would really like to have more of is a life of joy. And what does it mean to experience joy, though? It's something that we kind of have within us, an emotion that we feel that sometimes leads into some kind of a physical element in some way. You know, it's like that exhilarating feeling that you have that involves leaping or fist pumping when your team scores, whether you're on the team or you're watching from the stand. You don't like this guy, you know? He's just so excited his team has won. And I know for you Tom Brady haters right now, your heads are just spinning. How could he put that up there? I wanted to see if you were watching. And sometimes it involves, that joy comes out not as a fist pump, but as a tear, as you watch your child walk across a graduation stage or exchange vows with the love of their life. Maybe it's that certain sense of peace and contentment that comes from accomplishing a goal, like paying off a mortgage. You know, when you get something big going and you get it accomplished and taken care of and you feel like, yeah, we did that. Or it can be the delight you feel holding your child or grandchild. You're just caught up in that moment. So caught up in that moment, you don't care that someone took your picture with your hair all messed up. And the full photo shows me in my socks, you know. I'm just enraptured in that moment, you know. There's joy there. But it can also come from trusting your salvation, trusting your life to the Lord. So do you ever experience joy? Do you know that? Do you know that those fleeting moments that we have throughout life kind of sprinkled in? Do you know that joy that comes from having your life hidden in Christ? What is that joy? It is that sense of delight, that feeling that all is well with your soul. It can involve being happy. There's, I think, oftentimes a happiness element to that, that emotional part. But there's usually something deeper. Ultimately, joy is a response that we choose, something that we choose how to respond, or it just, sometimes it's voluntary, sometimes it's involuntary, just something happens. The parents of John the Baptist were told he would be a joy and delight to them. Elizabeth, John's mother, when she just had John within her belly, she said he leaped for joy. Upon announcing the birth of Jesus, the angel told the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." And when Jesus, later in his ministry, he sent out 72 of his disciples in pairs to share the good news of the kingdom. When they came back and they reported to Jesus what they had experienced, Scripture says he was filled with joy at that moment, listening to them, seeing what had happened in their lives. There's also something else at work to bring us joy. If we go to Galatians 5, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, as well as peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control." Joy is one of those things that can we experience as the Spirit works within us. And like all fruit, it has to kind of be tended. We are a part of that process of seeing it grow in our life. So joy is it's a spiritual fruit that can develop within us. But we have to ask ourselves, is joy a momentary experience that, you know, I've got it and then it's gone? Or can it be an ongoing state? So day to day, I experience joy. Well, consider the parable of the sower that Jesus tells. He says that the kingdom of God is like when a sower goes out, you know, tossing their seed out onto the ground. It's a different ground somehow would cause the seed to do different things. Sometimes the birds would just come along and get it. Sometimes the sun would scorch it. And then sometimes it went deep and it produced a harvest. Then the disciples said, when Jesus was done, Could you explain that to us? Can you help us understand that parable? And so he told him, and here's part that I want you to see. It says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. This is Jesus speaking. It says, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So what he's saying there is, you know, sometimes people receive that word and, oh, this is great, this is good news. But as soon as it becomes hard to be a follower of Jesus, they fall away. This begins to help us answer the question, is joy momentary or is it an ongoing experience? I believe it's both. It's a series of responses we choose to the circumstances of our lives. Notice that when Jesus describes in this parable, he says there's an initial response of joy to receiving the good news of the kingdom until something changes. We probably know what that's like. Been in school, you remember those school days? First day of school, you got your new clothes. You got your Batman lunchbox or your Barbie lunchbox. Mom went all out and really packed you a good lunch. You're all excited. You're going to get to see your friends. And then they start handing out homework. Suddenly that joy just dissipates, goes away. Or marriages. We've got that phrase, you know, the honeymoon period. That's supposed to last longer than the honeymoon. You know, we're just, everything's fine. You just love each other so much. And then those conflicts begin to enter in. You begin to have some arguments. Maybe it's over budgeting. Maybe it's over child rearing. Something comes up. And then probably the most critical and most important debate you will have in your marriage. Which way to squeeze the tube of toothpaste? And suddenly that joy seems to go away. Or it's our job. You know, you get a new job or you get a promotion. You're working with a new department. You're all excited. You're very joyous about it all. Then you find yourself, you're working a lot of late days and longer than you anticipated. And you find out your boss is a jerk. Your coworkers are annoying. Or they're saying that about you. Or churches. We find when we think, oh, this is great. This is home. This is family. Until something goes the way we don't like. And it's suddenly, well, there's probably a better one out there somewhere else. Somehow the experiences of life make our joy seem to go up and down. So how can we find something a little more permanent, more consistent? Because joy so often feels elusive to us. You know, if we would have said, you know, I'm finding so much joy in this pandemic right now. This is just great. Loving it. The introverts are, you know, they're like, oh, our season, finally. Going to make it last as long as we can. Because our roots don't go deep, we are so easily disappointed. We're quickly distracted. Sometimes we're just simply bored. So any sense of joy just becomes fleeting. It comes and goes with whatever is happening in that moment of life. In the parable of the sower, the change comes from trouble and persecution because of the word. Why do they fall away? Because they were not deeply rooted in the kingdom. The trouble and persecution came for everyone. But who stood? Those who allowed their roots to go deep. And that's what we have to learn to do. Because our sin nature still wants to fight back. We want something until holding on to it becomes just too hard. And then we say, let's go find something else. Let's go find someone else. Let's go do something else. One of the things that makes it hard is that we lose sight of hope. Like Peter, when Jesus invited him, come walk on the water with him. Peter, first, he's walking on the water. It's pretty cool. But then he notices the waves. And instead of looking at Jesus, he looks at the waves. And he begins to sink. We do the same thing. We take our eyes off of where they need to be. And we begin to sink into despair rather than rising up with joy. So, how can you and I experience more joy in our life? How can we experience it consistently? How can it become a steady state within us? Let's look at a few things to help us. If we go to Philippians chapter 2, it says, if you have any encouragement, this is Paul writing, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. If you want to know more joy and know it more consistently, you need to learn to focus on others more than yourself. There's something that happens when we look too hard, we spend too much time thinking about what we're feeling, how we're feeling it, what's going on in our life, we just become unhappier, unhappier, less joyous. We won't find more joy by looking constantly in the mirror. We have to begin to think about other people. I'm reminded of a joke. There was a person who was talking to another person. And they just kept going on and on and on about themselves, what they like, what they thought, what they were doing, blah, 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 blah. You've probably been in those conversations before. Maybe you're the talker. But then the person caught themselves. They stopped. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking just about me. Tell me about you. What do you like about me? It's hard to get our eyes off of ourselves. But if we can, if we will, if we can begin to see, what do other people in my life need? How can I encourage them? How can I build them up, lift them up? We'll begin to find joy. You go across this world and you will find people with very little. But yet they focus on other people, their friends, their family, their community. And you can just see it in their faces. There is a joy there. While we here with so much, what do? We complain and complain and complain. If you have a Facebook page, how much of that is people expressing their joy versus people ranting about this and that? So can you focus on other people more than yourself? Last week, Troy spoke beautifully about the power of community. And if you missed it, I encourage you to go back and watch it. Some beautiful stuff there about how we are supported in difficult times. But that also means that if we are supporting one another, sometimes I'm supported, sometimes I'm supporting other people. I'm encouraging other people. I need a community of folks that I can talk with and encourage. One of the things that we have to begin to ask ourselves is, what can I do to bring joy to those around me? It's a great illustration that's found in a place called the Pike Place Fish Market. If you're not familiar with it, it's out in Seattle. Pike Place Market is just a place with lots of different shops, and there's a fish market there. Now, if you're dealing in fish all day long, you know, no one ever says, smells fishy in here. That's good. You know, we all think, fish, smells fishy, it's stinky. Ugh. If you're dealing with fish all day and you're dealing with ice and all that stuff, it'd be easy to just go, what do you want? What do you want? But they've turned this into a different kind of place. Well, one of the key things that they do there is they throw the fish. Let's watch this video and you'll see for yourself.
Hey! stamp of what happens when people buy stuff.
How about a T-shirt? How about a T-shirt?
Might ask yourself, how can I make where I work? How can I make my family place? How can I bring some joy into it? How can we do things differently? How can we make it a sense of community and a place where we're lifting each other up? One another way that we find joy building into our lives is if we commit to something outside of ourselves. Sometimes a cause bigger than ourselves. We are made in God's image, so we are not content when we merely meet the basic needs of food and shelter and even companionship. When those things are met, we're not sitting around, okay, that's good. Something else in us wants more. But that's because we want meaning. We want purpose. We want to make a difference in this world. And joy is never found merely looking after ourselves. Jesus himself says it is better to give than to receive. And we often experience it, but then we forget it. And we have to be reminded again and again. That's one of the reasons why we gather weekly, because all of us need to be reminded of these truths. I need to be reminded. When I study and prepare, I'm being reminded of things. We need to be reminded of where our focus needs to be. Consider Jesus, how he illustrates this for us. In Hebrews 12, we're told, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now think about what Jesus went through. He's arrested. He's beaten. He's mocked. He's insulted. He's flogged. And eventually he's executed in one of the most painful, humiliating ways human beings have developed to execute someone. But it says he looked forward at all of that with joy. There was a joy he saw. Why? Because he knew that in doing what he was going to do, he was going to usher in a new kingdom. And he was going to open the kingdom up for all of us and anyone who would call on his name. He knew that he was making all things new. And so that even as he suffered, he knew something bigger than himself was happening. You know, you just go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's asking God, if there's any other way, it'd be sure nice if this cup could pass from me. It wasn't that he was like, yeah, this is great. But yet he found joy knowing that what he was going to do was going to change the world. That maybe gets us to begin to understand that you and I, if we want to know joy, need to involve ourselves in something bigger than ourselves, something that can be world-changing, life-changing. Maybe it's just something here in our own community. Maybe it's something around the world. But we involve ourselves knowing that something, our lives are making a difference, and that brings joy to us. If we go on into James, he writes, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That doesn't fit together, does it? You know, we think, consider joy when you have a birthday party. Consider it joy when you get a promotion. Consider it joy when you get a raise. Consider it joy when you get a good health report. You know, those are the things you consider it joy. But consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds. Why? He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That by pushing through the trial, going through the trial, your roots are going to go deeper. You're going to become more mature. You're going to take hold in a deeper way. We have to get this. We understand this in the physical world. We understand the concept, no gain, no pain, no gain. We understand, you know, you want to work out, you want to see results at the end of the day, you got to go through the process. But somehow spiritually, we don't think it should work that way. But it does. It still does. So what we have to do is learn to change our perspective. To see the hard stuff in a different light. We can respond to life's trials with genuine joy if we know that the Lord has a purpose for why he would allow those difficult times of suffering in our life. In this passage, the purpose for the trials was to produce patience or endurance, the ability to hold up under a trial. So as you begin to think in your own life, think, what am I going through that's going to produce something? You know, in this season of this pandemic, we're spending a lot of time talking about all the downsides out of this, and there will be some. But there are also some things that we can begin to see. You know, there are going to be some positive outcomes too. I can't tell you what they are right now, but we will look back. Just as people who've gone through other tough times and situations and seasons, it did somehow produce a fruit. We sometimes refer to, it used to be the greatest generation. You know, those folks who went through a depression and then went through a world war. Those weren't easy. Those weren't fun things. There's a lot of loss, a lot of suffering and pain. Yet they came through it with some determination to do and build and find joy again in the normal things of life. Knowing a life of joy does not mean you will never know pain, never know a setback, never know a loss. That's not what joy is about. A life of joy comes when we can celebrate not only those simple and sweet moments of life, but then we are able to take hold of eternal truths that guide us through the shadowy valleys that we will go through. Truths like the promise that Jesus made that he will be with us until the end of the age. We hold on to that. Or that God will continue his work in us, continue it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We hold on to that truth. Or this, found in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There's our source of joy. That no matter what we face, we are more than conquerors because Jesus has conquered all. And we share in his victory. And I want you to hold on to this thought as you take of the communion this morning, the cup and the bread. Remember what we just read. God did not hold back his son. He did not spare him. I want you to see that. Why? Because he loves us. As you look at those elements, see his love for you that you cannot be separated from. And let that bring you joy. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you right now that we have a few moments here to reflect, to remember, and to think. Help us to get a hold of joy, Father. To commit to something beyond ourselves, as Jesus did. Help us, Father, to take hold of this truth that nothing can separate us from your love. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.